What's the difference between brokenness and repentance? I've written a column in the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled Personal Brokenness. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa writes about being raised a nominal Roman Catholic and finding the saving gospel in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off.
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
Once, but she says it's not.
And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie.
Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool, not cool.
Some already are. In ways big.
Yo, men, we're everyone.
And small.
I am strong.
I am strong.
But some is not enough.
That's not how we treat each other, okay?
Okay.
Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
That's a new Gillette Super Bowl TV ad called The Best a Man Can Be. So, why is this getting such a strong reaction? Article after article after it aired on YouTube and got millions of views and, of course, scheduled to run during the Super Bowl. Why is it getting such a strong reaction from men and from some women? And maybe why don't we ever anticipate getting a commercial that has a similar message for women? Maybe the best a woman can be. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about this new Gillette Super Bowl ad with Rebecca Curtis, co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically. A little bit later, Dr. Peter Scarer joins us to talk about a proposed hate crime bill in Indiana. He's been deeply involved in calling for this bill to die on the governor's desk. We don't think that's going to happen, but we'll find out what will. Pastor Peter Bender will join us after that. Our series on Lutheran catechesis continues. We're in the Eighth Commandment, and we'll be talking about Joseph defending his brothers with mercy as we teach the Eighth Commandment. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about this new Gillette Super Bowl ad called The Best a Man Can Be, Rebecca Curtis. She's a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary and co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically. Rebecca, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
So as a woman, a wife, a mother of boys, what's your initial reaction to the Gillette Super Bowl ad?
I think it's pretty unsettling. It's clear that society's default setting is to receive anyone with a Y chromosome as, you know, a potential war criminal, and that all men and even boys, little boys, are viewed with this basic outlook of suspicion that, you know, just give them a minute and they're going to do something really, really vile. And if we aren't all watchdogging constantly, expecting this from them, that there's no way we're going to be able to stop our society from, you know, basically becoming an anarchist zone of the strongest doing whatever they want.
So the commercial does show men and boys behaving badly. Do you think the overall message is that masculinity or manhood is wrong per se?
Yeah, I think that is what it's trying to demonstrate, is that left to their own devices, this is how men will turn out. all of them will do this unless there are checks put on them, you know, very deliberately from, you know, some outside force, and that this is what we should expect from them, and it's a constant danger that all of us have to mitigate against in order for, you know, for us to avoid basically becoming their victims.
My reaction was somewhat different, to tell you the truth, partly because I'd been reading the reactions to it before I actually watched the commercial.
Sure.
And the reactions primed me for kind of this super-powered men bad, men are problem kind of a thing. And I think mm-hmm. I think it was a little more nuanced that. And the reason I say that, Rebecca, is because at some point the narrator says something like, "We believe the best about men." It does seem to acknowledge that masculinity per se is not all bad. Although I would say if you're not paying close attention, you may not get that message.
Yeah, I agree. There are some grains of truth there. You know, at one point in the commercial, it talks about men holding men accountable. And I just want to say, as a Christian, well, we have a system for that. It's called church. If you go to church, there's a man there whose whole job, personally, is to hold you accountable. That's your pastor. That's why our pastors are men. Maybe not why they're men, but that's a really good outcome of their being men. We have a system for this. And all of Western civilization had a system for this, and still we started, you know, flushing it down the toilet piece by piece. So I think that's the sad irony of it, is that they're calling for something that we already have. We have the infrastructure for, and that for a number of centuries functioned pretty well, where people said, hey, you know, there is a better way. We don't have to live with savagery and filth and mayhem. If we live according to the laws of God and everyone sees that as their default setting, then things go a lot better. And that is the expectation, that you will be on your best behavior, that we understand what the best behavior looks like, that men understand what their duties are, women understand what their duties are in relation to each other and especially to our children. And the commercial does kind of get that. It just doesn't know where to go for it.
Exactly. I think one other thing I would fault the commercial for is its depiction, not so much of men in general, but of fathers. There's one scene there of a kind of an infinite row of fathers at barbecues saying boys will be boys while a couple little boys beat the snot out of each other
right.
in front of them in the backyard. And to me, that the picture there is, well, what men really need to learn is to break up those fights when boys are behaving badly and to show them a good example of how to treat women and things like that. And I was raised in a family of all boys. There were daily fist fights, and my dad broke up a lot of them. It's almost as though they're saying dads are just not doing any of this. I imagine the vast majority of dads out there don't let that kind of stuff go on, and they don't let it go unpunished either.
Yeah, well, I think that goes to, you know, what is the correct reaction to what is a dad's duty when two of his kids are fighting? Sometimes it is to break it up. Other times, it's kind of to coach a little bit. This is something we see in our house all the time. We've got three boys. They're not that far apart from each other in age. And there are times when their father decides, well, this one needs to hit that one back, and then it'll be over. Then justice will have been served. There are times when it does just outright have to come to an end. But there are other times when he sees his job as a dad is to say, you do have some recourse here, and you need to take it. You need to not run away crying. Or you need to not run away tattling, or you need to not hide from situations where you're threatened just to avoid any kind of pain whatsoever. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just a matter of breaking up fights, but it is, I think, one of the most complicated things that I don't have a mind for, because I'm a girl, that a dad knows when, if you will, when to hold them and when to fold them. And boys have to be taught that. Sometimes you do have to fight. And if you do have to fight, you have to know how. So it's pretty complicated. And I think that's why we end up with these really mixed messages, that sometimes you do let the kids fight and sometimes you don't. And that what you have to do is teach them to make that determination for themselves.
Yeah, there were, I do remember times when my mom would say something. My dad would say, it's okay, they'll wear themselves out pretty soon.
Right,
the problem will solve itself at some point.
Sometimes they do.
Why do you think this commercial is getting such negative reaction?
there is just so much bad blood about this. It's such a big topic. I want to say right now, I think it's always been a big topic, but I think the approaches that people are taking to it at this moment in history are particularly characterized by animosity and suspicion and mistrust. And like you said, there are things in the commercial indicative of some basic human wisdom that is correct and commendable. But none of this occurs in a vacuum. And in our cultural context, there are going to be reactions, you know, from every side where people feel offended. Some people are going to think that the commercial didn't go far enough, and some people are going to think that it's categorically a wrong-headed thing to do and that it's, you know, just more man-bashing. And I feel like I can hear all the arguments taking place in my head at the same time. But what we're not very good at as a society right now is having an intellectual discussion and being able to do that without people having their feelings hurt and resorting immediately to offense and caricature and refusing to hear just a plain argument and to weigh it on its logical merits.
Why has a rather vocal sector of feminism decided in a very facile, simplistic way that men are the problem?
Well, honestly, I think a lot of it grows out of personal experience. If you look at the lives of a lot of the main figures in radical feminism, they did not relate well to men in their own lives, and that gets played out then in the way that they think about men and the way they think about society. It was feminists who came up with the idea that all politics are personal, and that is absolutely demonstrated in their own lives. And I think when you are living in a place where marriage means nothing, where parenting is a choice you can take or leave for any reason whatsoever, and all of the bonds that people used to have with each other that were the most personal and the most strong and that society supported by expecting them to remain intact, when you remove all that, then you've just created this perfect environment for a fundamental mistrust of anyone who's not exactly like you. So feminists are just a branch of that, and they happen to be particularly good at it.
Is there a happy medium between this kind of boys-will-be-boys permissiveness and condemning all masculine traits out of hand? What does that happy medium look like?
It looks like a family where everyone is committed to each other, where mom is committed to dad and dad is committed to mom, where parents are committed to kids, and where children under the fourth commandment are committed to parents. It's not a perfect world. It is constant conflict and forgiveness and confusion and misunderstanding. But since everyone there understands that for better or worse, the Lord gave us to each other, when you start from that, from each life being inextricable from all the others, you figure it out, and it's never easy, and it's never perfect, and certainly people do things that are outright sinful toward each other, and factor in all the facets of each individual's personality, and it's only going to get more complicated, but that's the plan. The plan is the family, and all of society is just a macrocosm of that. When you remove a solid family structure, there is no way that men and women are going to understand how to relate to each other generally, and that adults and children will understand how to relate to each other generally.
So why do you think American culture can't find that happy medium today?
Because our families have fallen apart, and we've totally allowed it. We made marriage into a mutually dissolvable contract for any reason. It's the worst contract I've ever heard of. There's no contract that works that way, but that's what marriages are now. And as soon as a marriage means nothing, then parenting means nothing, and no one has that experience of being absolutely committed and bound to another person, and they don't have to develop any of those skills, and so that just trickles down into every relationship we have.
And that actually allows the worst of who we are, both men and women, to prevail in the end.
Absolutely, because you have no, you know, when you have no incentive to preserve a relationship, well, just go ahead and wreck it. The sooner you're completely severed from it, the better. And so that becomes our method for dealing with any conflict with another person.
We're talking with Rebecca Curtis about a new Gillette Super Bowl TV ad called The Best a Man Can Be. She's co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically. When we come back from this break, many men feel attacked by the feminist message of our culture. Is the answer drum circles and MMA fighting? And why don't we see similar commercials about this with respect to femininity?
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of Western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons, preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Visiting Concordia University Chicago is a great way to open up your world. Tour our beautiful 40-acre campus, hear from current students about why they chose Concordia Chicago, discover more than 70 degree programs, and learn about financial aid and generous scholarship opportunities. Attend our February 18th visit day for high school and transfer students. Register today at cuchicago.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, January the 16th, we're talking about a new Gillette Super Bowl TV ad called The Best a Man Can Be. Rebecca Curtis is our guest. Rebecca, picking up where we left off, many men feel attacked or under attack by the feminist message of our culture today. Is the answer the shirtless male drum circle or MMA fighting?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I certainly can't speak for men here. I don't know what, I can't begin to imagine what all men get out of such activities any more than I expect them to understand what I get out of, you know, standing over my stove making jam for an afternoon. But clearly, I think what we can see is that men are missing something, and this is one of those things where the answer is obviously so influenced by feminist thought and feminist demonizing of, you know, whatever is bad about being a man, which apparently is violence and lust and whatever else, unless women are into that, in which case it's totally fine. I think there's just way too much confusion about what masculinity is, what it's allowed to be, and frankly, particularly since we've recently been informed that being masculine or feminine is just a social construct and you really get to decide what you are, well, how is it fair then to tell men to act like men? If that isn't how they identify, why is it their job to act like something they're not? It's just, it gets you into this total muddle of contemporary thought that I don't think any of us really have the equipment to think very well about that answer. You have to really get your head into a completely different way of thinking, and that's really difficult to do.
You mentioned there the kind of fluidity of gender and gender being nothing but a social construct. That was a little glimmer of hope that I saw in the Gillette commercial, in that it seemed to assume the sexual binary, male and female, rather strongly, and I don't think I saw a single trans man in the cast of that commercial.
Right. Apparently, there is still such a thing as a man, so it does have that going for it.
Why don't we see such commercials that are, you know, a Fortune 500 company trying to teach a social lesson to women?
Oh, this is easy. I will tell you. It is because women do not sin. Women don't do any of those bad things that men do. They are constant victims. You tell me, what are the sins women have? You don't have to do that. It puts you on the spot. But I'll tell you what women's sins are. Number one, not knowing how beautiful you are. That's what the Dove Campaign for Beauty was about. Number two, not taking time for yourself. Number three, giving too much. These are women's sins. You cannot criticize women at all. This is what feminism has really accomplished, I think, best within the church. It is so easy to get up and rail about all the bad things men do and all the changes they need to make and all the better ways they need to do things and everything they need to be taught to understand how bad they are so they can start being better. But, oh my goodness, if you begin to say that women do anything wrong, you will never hear the end of it. You are a misogynist. You are the person who hates women. You have to be silenced. Women have gone through so much. How dare you criticize women? Think of all the sacrifices they make and everything they do for all the people around them. The only women's sins are not taking care of themselves. So you will never see a commercial like that. Not allowed. Anathema to criticize women.
What do you make of the fact that this is a Fortune 500 company? I'm just going to guess that the majority of its customers are men. The commercial's obviously aimed at men. Kind of trying to teach us a little social lesson during the halftime at the Super Bowl. It didn't have to do this. It doesn't have to do this. All it's trying to do is sell razors.
Yeah, I think when you think about who they're trying to sell razors to, first of all, they're very expensive razors, so they're selling them to people who are already not buying great value brand razors. But this is just virtue signaling. They're trying to, make hay out of appealing to middle and upper class values, and I think probably there are a lot of situations where it's the woman buying the razors for the man of the house, and so now she's more incentivized to do that because this commercial says all the things she wants men to hear and all the things she likes to feel aggrieved over herself. So, you know, nobody can afford to advertise during the Super Bowl besides companies that are already well in the black. So we see a lot of that during Super Bowl commercials. It's just constant social justice blather promoting the causes of the day. And so I don't think it's at all surprising. You know, people can complain about it, but I think Gillette's market share is in pretty decent shape. And so they kind of have the latitude to score some points with the people more on the controlling end of society. So they're going to go ahead and take that opportunity.
The ad ended, I thought, with, you had talked about kind of that human wisdom that it does have. It ended by reminding us that the boys watching today are tomorrow's men. And I remember this a lot as a father, as a grandfather, that the kids are watching and they're learning more. I did, learning more by what they see than perhaps what they hear from their fathers. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, but I think what's wrong with it is the idea that it should be a commercial telling us what our personal ethics should look like. The best thing that a father, a grandfather, a mother, a grandmother can do is to be in church, to be there with their children and their grandchildren, that is what they demonstrate, and that what children learn is that all of your behavior flows from what goes on in the Lord's house. Not out of, you know, this kind of groupthink, crowdsourced, how do we imagine being nice today? Because that's going to change. Anybody who's, you know, been on this earth for a number of years can testify to that. But what will never change is the word of the Lord. And when children see their mothers and fathers, their grandmas and grandpas faithfully being in the Lord's house, faithfully receiving the word of the Lord from their pastors, from their fathers in Christ, that is where they will derive eventually a way of life that is reflective of things that are eternal and truly good.
What you've just said there, Rebecca, actually explains a lot about the last few questions we've talked about, because the Super Bowl is our church.
Exactly.
And these commercials are now the sermon.
You got it. TV is our God.
Finally, I just can't picture the Curtises sitting around watching Super Bowl commercials, but maybe you do. I more picture you all sitting at some kinds of looms or something like that.
No, there are Super Bowls in our life.
You're sitting there with the family, and this one comes on. What are you going to say to your son, and what are you going to say to your daughters about this commercial?
Probably my husband is going to do the talking. That's our default setting, is I just wait and see what he says, and it's usually pretty hilarious. But I would not rule out the possibility that he will say, as he often does when we are in the presence of a television, close your eyes, close your ears. Because even though, as you said, this commercial does have some not completely wrong-headed things in it, it's done in the wrong way, and it frames everything incorrectly, and it does communicate that idea that your ethics are born out of your culture. And the good that this commercial intends to do is already at work in any Christian home, where dad takes his family to church and sits there with them and shows them that this is where we learn what goodness looks like, and by the grace of God and with his constant forgiveness, strive to do it ourselves.
Rebecca Curtis is a pastor's wife and mother of 7 children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary, and she's co-author of the book, Ladylike, Living Biblically. You can find out more about Ladylike at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Ask for Ladylike, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Rebecca, thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
Dr. Peter Scare joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about a proposed hate crime bill in Indiana he's been making a lot of noise about. And then Pastor Peter Bender, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, will be our guest for the remainder of the program. Our series on Lutheran catechesis continues on the 8th commandment. How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2019? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Christ Community International. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at LutherAcademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or LutherAcademy.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul Lutheran, Cullman, Alabama. Christ the King Lutheran, Redlands, California. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas, Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri, Faith Lutheran, Rogue River, Oregon, Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, Trinity Lutheran, Springfield, Illinois, Redford Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan, and Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.